thankful and happy to be with you all again this evening, and certainly do ask that we continue to pray that the Lord will be with us in this service tonight. Have, I guess you would say, sort of an unusual subject on my mind this evening, one that you probably wouldn't think would be annual meeting type preaching. I'm making Brother Chris extremely nervous by all this. That doesn't bother me at all. But just to sort of get what I have to speak to you tonight, I'd like to speak to you about the New Testament communion service. You say, well, Brother David, it's not communion time here at Little Union, so why would you want to speak on that? Well, you don't want me to wait till resurrection morning to preach a sermon on the resurrection, do you? I want to hear about the resurrection before the resurrection. And but most of all, I do have it on my mind tonight. I feel like the Lord had put it there. And kind of how I got into this 2 weeks ago, or sometime not too long ago at Fredericksburg, we had our communion service. And I would have to say that, well, I really felt the Lord with us in the service. And you like to feel that, but sometimes you just feel a very special unction that the Lord has just anointed that service, and it stays in your memory and you go back to it. And that got my mind to thinking about the communion service. And what I remember about 2 weeks ago is that it had a solemnity to it. I'm generally a happy person. I like to laugh. I'm not much of a crybaby. I like to smile. I like to make people laugh. It hurts my feelings when you don't laugh at my jokes. So I interpret it that you don't like me all of a sudden. But that's ridiculous. But I am ridiculous. That should have gotten the biggest amen of the whole sermon. And that's my personality. So when I have communion, especially at home at Fredericksburg, that's been my home church for 15 years, and it is home. I love to go home. I love to be at that church, and I consider those people to be among my all-time greatest friends. I feel like I have the best liberty there at Fredericksburg Church. And when we had that service, I hung up my jovial personality. I checked it at the door. And my mind was consumed with what we're doing. More so than it ever had before then. And my mind went back to where our communion service came from, in that it came out of the old Jewish Passover service. And then my mind went to, well, what does it represent? It represents the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we should feel about that, how I should feel about that, and how I should have that not just when we have communion service, but when we have worship service, like I trust we're having right now. And then carried into whenever I look to the Lord in prayer, and when I talk to God, when I open the Bible and read the inspired Word of God, when I talk to one of the saints and we engage in what we call fellowship, and we speak of the most noble of all things, spiritual things, when we get away from the sensational and current events, politics, if you were. If we're going to talk about government, we talk about the government that's upon his shoulder. If we want to talk about policy, the best policy is total salvation by grace. If we want to talk about an election, we talk about the great election before time ever began. And how blessed it is to be able to participate in such activity as that. There's a lot of things that we could be participating in, but because of mercy, we are participating in the most magnificent thing on this world. That is the worship and adoration and the fellowship and communion with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Grace has never stopped being amazing. I went back to Exodus 12, and I would like to go to there right now. And wherein the first Passover was instituted and performed and done. It was done in conjunction with the 10th plague of Egypt. The death of the firstborn. These things were happening concurrently. The Lord came down and slew every firstborn of Egypt, including the animals. As this destruction was transpiring, there was a special group of people that were participating in a meal. They were eating a meal while destruction was ongoing. And amidst of them eating this meal in their houses by the ordinance of God, God ordered them to eat this meal, and he had every detail lined out, and what they would eat, how they would cook it, and even how they would eat it. And as they were eating, death was all over the place. How solemn it must have been in the homes of those Jews as they ate this Passover. Listen to what the Lord said in Exodus 12 and in verse 11. "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." This was not a meal to be enjoyed. We had a good meal a while ago. I am by nature a very fast eater. I grew up with three brothers. I think we talked about this last night. It was one of the best parts of the sermon last night. And I talked about if you wanted seconds, you ate the first fast. And And I still do. I will be finished and everybody else is still eating. Because I'm still looking for my brother to take food off my plate, which actually happened. It really, 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 I had a terrible childhood because of this. But tonight, y'all know there's a history of me and fish fries at Little Union Church. Because I called for a fish fry the last time I was here, and y'all did it. And I thought that was awesome. That was cool. You say, "Oh, you preach for us, and we'll fry fish." And I obliged, and we had a good time. And then I read, well, they're going to do it again. They're going to have another fish fry with you being there, David. And I got excited about that. And I put every thought that I had into tonight. When I got that plate, it was the culmination of a lot of forethought. And I did not want to rush through that. I wanted to enjoy it. But in the Lord's Passover, He said, "You eat it in haste. You don't take your shoes off. Don't get comfortable. Don't. You got your staff in your hand. You be ready to go. This is not a meal to sit down and just relax. I want you to concentrate on what is happening. Because what was happening while they ate it is that there were the wails of sorrow. Death reigned the nation. It gripped the nation. And in the next verse, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." While you're eating, I'm passing, I'm coming down, and I will smite all the firstborn of humans and beasts. And then the 13th verse, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The Lord said, "I'm not going to look in and make sure you cook the lamb just right. I'm not going to make sure that you've got the bread and the bitter herbs and the wine and all in the table laid just right. I've told you what to do and I expect you to do it. But there is one thing that I am looking for, and I am looking for the blood." That's it. It wasn't what the Jews were doing. He had told them, "You will apply the blood of a slain lamb on your doorpost. When I see it, I will pass over you." Hence the name Passover. And in that house, there had to have been a profound sense of relief. Because it was not what they had done that got them passed over. It was what had been applied to them that got them passed over. And thus the Lord said, "You be solemn about this. You consider what is happening and what you are being passed over and what you are being saved from. Let's consider that. Because we like to talk about, and me being the happy-go-lucky, you know, everything is all right sort of fellow that I am, I don't like to dwell so much on the negative thing, but I have to when I come face to face with my sin and my depravity, and I have to look and say, what have I been saved from? What I deserve. You say, I want what I deserve. No, you don't. You say, I want what's coming to me. No, you don't. You want what you do not deserve. You want what you have because of a lamb that died. Because God saw the blood. He didn't see your works. He didn't see what you did. He didn't make sure you did everything exactly right. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As the old timers say, that'll preach. All right? Because you know, this is a type of something greater. And I don't think the Jews got it. I don't see how they could have, unless the Lord had opened up to them. But in my opinion, I believe there's scripture that says they searched and looked for what these things mean. And we who are blessed to live in the New Testament dispensation, we get it by the grace of God. We understand what this blood is all about. And we see the larger application of it. This is more than just the 10th plague. This was not just getting the Jews out of Egypt. This is getting sinners out of hell. And making them saints and bringing saints into heaven. That's what it's about. May I say, my beloved, that is what our communion service is likewise all about. The Lord uses three words that I like to apply. He says in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token. That means a picture. It is a representation of something. The blood of the Lamb in the Old Testament is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse 14, and this day... Notice what he said. Not just so much this feast, or not a part of this feast, or what's going on apart from the feast. But he says, this whole day, this experience, shall be unto you for a memorial. That's the second word I want to get. That means something to be remembered. And he says, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance. That's the third word I want. Forever. That word ordinance means a mandated custom. Or, to put it simply, this is an order from a divine God. God says, do it. And don't not do it. Keep doing it. Because it's a token. The blood is the memorial. The day, the experience. Excuse me, I got that wrong. The blood is the token. The day, the experience is the memorial. And the feast itself. This is an ordinance. You do this. You do the feast because you're going to do it not in Egypt next year. Eventually you'll do it in Israel. He's going to take this into the New Testament and it will still be an ordinance. And now we do it in the United States. It is still being kept in ordinance unto this day. It is still a token. And it ought to still be a memorial. You can say, well, Brother David, how do you know all this? Brother Dave, glad to prove it to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, The Apostle Paul has a problem with how the Corinthian church was handling their communion service. Because they were making this a feast to satisfy their natural hunger. And Paul said, that's not what it's for. It wasn't that way in the Old Testament, and the New Testament ordinance is not to be that way. He says in verse 23 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." And in that statement of Jesus that He made to His apostles, He took the bread and He took the wine out of the Jewish Passover and instituted the New Testament communion service. And He said, of this bread and of this wine, this do in ordinance. You do it. This do in remembrance. It's a memorial. This do in remembrance of Me. That's the token. Remember when the Jews ate that Passover meal in a time of death, in a time of suffering, in a dark, scary night, when fear was all over the nation. And they, with the blood on their door, ate this meal, and the Lord came down and passed over their house. Now we today, we have the bread and the wine. But what do we remember? We remember likewise a time of suffering which was so much greater than what the Egyptians faced. Because we remember the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. As He goes on, and He says, For as often as ye drink, eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. We have not plumbed the depth of the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. There has never been a sermon preached that adequately, nor could it ever adequately portray the intense magnitude of what He went through for us. Have y'all ever felt guilty for something you did? A lot of times. Have y'all ever gone a day without committing at least one sin? If you have, then you need to be preaching. And I need to be listening to you. I sin every day of my life. That's one thing that I'm good at, is sinning. I'm a professional sinner. My parents did not have to teach me how to sin. Isn't it interesting that the first word, usually the first word a child learns is mama, the second word is no. Negative. I got a spanking every day of my life growing up. Half of them I deserved. That's still a lot of spankings. And I remember thinking, I'm going to do this and I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I remember taking money out of my mother's purse knowing that I was stealing, and I did it anyway. That's terrible. When I see my mother's purse to this day, I still cringe in shame. Growing up in the minister's home, going to church every Sunday, I, I remember going to church at the age of 2 years old. I can remember church going back to 1961. I remember the brethren in Wichita Falls, Texas, and I remember how they preached. I remember meetings. I remember how it felt growing up, and I remember being told and given the responsibility and having so many good examples of what it means to be good and right, and I still failed time after time after time. I deserve to go to hell. I do not like that verse that we sing, and if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. I don't like it, but I have to admit it. I have to say it is true. But I like the next verse. Yet save a trembling sinner, Lord. I deserve hell, but save me anyway. When I eat the bread of Jesus Christ, I think of what He went through to save me. As I have felt the guilt of my sin, can you imagine what He felt on the cross when all the sins was placed upon Him? You can't do it. It's beyond imagination. The sun didn't shine. It was dark. It was black. And He was lamenting and He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He was made to be sin who knew no sin. I've known nothing but sin since the day I was born. He never knew sin until that moment. And He felt it in one terrible instant. It came upon Him. And he hung there, forsaken of His Father, bearing our reproach, bearing the shame, hanging on a tree, being mocked, being reviled, being jeered at, being forsaken by everyone. And when we eat the communion service, that's what we're showing. This is what saved me. This is a picture of the most agonizing suffering that's ever been experienced. And as Fredericksburg Church called upon me to break the bread, it dawned on me what I was doing. Lord, I don't want Your body to have to be broken for me. But I thank God that it was. I don't want to think about blood being shed for me, but I thank God that it was. And so, this next verse is what really struck me in the 27th verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. The word unworthily means irreverently. My beloved, let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us think about what we're doing here tonight. This is not just a gathering together and we're going to have a good time. I like having a good time. But this is a time when the Lord comes down and meets with us and we feel His presence and we give Him glory and honor. And we say, thanks be unto Almighty God who died for us. My friends, we're going to heaven because of Jesus. That's not just a children's song we sang tonight. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's not a song. Well, the kids like that song. We need to lead it. Are you considering that? What washed away your sins? The only thing that could have was the blood of Jesus. That's why you're here tonight. And can you believe that He would come down and abide with us and give us the unction of His Holy Spirit, that we feel His presence and we are comforted and reminded and told and preached to, and we sing about it and we talk about it and we consider it and we go home and we say, I have been in the house of the Lord today, and Jesus reigns and He is my Savior, and He is the only one who could have done it, and He did it not by constraint but out of willingness. And when we have communion, may we meet for that ordinance with that solemn attitude. This is not just a museum. I love precious memories. And I'm glad the Lord gave us the ability to remember. And He did it for a good reason. We need it. We need to keep things in mind. And He made us to be affectionate. He gave us the ability to show and demonstrate tenderness and love toward each other. And He told us, that's how you should be. And you need to be like little children. And even in malice, Brother Philip, we need to be like children. He quoted that text to me today. I acted like it didn't mean anything to me. It did. It got to me. Do you hold grudges? Are you still angry at something done to you in the past? Aren't you glad Jesus isn't that way? I'm glad you're not the Savior. I'm glad I'm not the Savior. I'm very good at holding grudges. I can give seminars in holding grudges. I'm not proud of that. So I'm preaching to me. This is for me. I know one person in this congregation that needs this sermon, and it's me. Because I am sick and tired of holding grudges. I'm sick and tired of living in the past of things. If I'm going to live in the past, let me remember how I've been forgiven. Let me remember how people have forgiven me. Let me remember how Jesus died for my sins. That's the memorial. That's the memory. That's the king of all memories. That is the guiding memory. That is the precious memory. Everything else pales in comparison to that precious memory, that memorial. This do in remembrance of me. And what's left after that? If there's nothing left after that, that's it. That's all you need. That's all you got, and that's more than you deserve, and that will carry you through the rest of your life. That will abide with you. That will get you through the dark and thorny desert. And that will cancel out the things that you hold against somebody. And you can let that go. Because Jesus let it go for you. You're free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have shown that death. In communion service, you have shown that death in the baptism service. You have shown that death when you came down the aisle and professed your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You show forth that death when you say, Amen. That's the truth. That's the gospel. If it weren't for that death, we are of all men most miserable. You can say, well, I know it says about the resurrection. Well, if there weren't a death, there wouldn't be a resurrection. You got to get things in the right order. And he said, he didn't say you show forth the Lord's resurrection. He said you show forth the Lord's death. We'll show the Lord's resurrection on the resurrection. That resurrection sermon has to wait till the resurrection morning. There will be, and having said that, I'm going to go right ahead and preach it right now. There is coming a day. There is coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come and He will stand in the air and every eye will see Him. And we will rise to meet Him in the air and we will be changed in a moment. And we will be fashioned like His glorious body. And in that sublime moment, we show forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And time ends. And eternity begins. And I'll have to wait till we get there to tell you about that part. I believe in a too late doctrine. When I can preach the resurrection the way it ought to be preached, it's too late because the resurrection done already happened. I like that too late doctrine, don't you? Until that day, the ordinance of the master of the king says, do this often. Do this in remembrance of me. Show the Lord's death till I come. Remember the cross. Oh, could I gain the mountain's height and gaze upon that bleeding sight? Oh, that with Salem's daughter's eye I might stand and see my Savior die. You can through faith. You can through communion. You can through baptism. You can by taking up your cross and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that whole application of Passover still applies. The Lord, He didn't say, well, they took up my cross and followed me. I think I'll make them a child of God. He's already seen what He needs to see. What was it? The blood. Now, how did that blood get there? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. Because not only was He the Lamb, He was also the high priest. He was the high priest and the sacrifice, and He applied His own blood to whomsoever He would. Now we're saved. As my mother said, act like it. I did. I told my mother one time, I said, Mom, I'm saved. She goes, well, you're not acting like it. You're already saved. Act like it. Show the Lord's death till He come. And so here's, let me just, as he hastily looks at his book. Okay, here's the last, I've got 2.5 minutes left. The Holy Ghost just told me I've got 2.5 more minutes. And I'm even gravitating toward the steps. That ought to make you feel good. Makes me feel good. But let a man, that's man and women, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And you know, there's a lot more I can say about that. Some people say, well, I'm not worthy to take part in communion service. Amen, amen. Amen, you're right, you're not worthy. But you have been made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? Don't use that tired old excuse on me. Say, I'm not worthy to join the church. I know you're not worthy, but you've been made worthy by the blood of the cross, by the blood of Christ. He's seen the blood. Why don't you see it? What's the matter? Why don't you see it? I'm tired of people not joining the church who they themselves know they ought to do it. I really am. I'm tired of saying I would join for them. I'm not going to join for you. You ought to join for you. I'm tired of people saying, I can't be at communion service because I've got this going on. That ought to be the most important day on your calendar. There's no family reunion. There's no race. There's no scouting. There's no baseball. There's no soccer. More important than showing the Lord's death till He comes.
Amen.
There's nothing more important than that except going on and being with the Lord. Which was the only excuse which got me out of church growing up, is that I had to be dead. If I wasn't seeing the Lord face to face, I had to show the Lord's death. Maybe pastors ought to be that way. But pastors ought to start with themselves. They ought to preach this to themselves, and they say, like, okay, I'm going to be an example to the flock. They really got to be. You can't have communion without them. Really kind of an obligation for them to be there. So how would you feel if the pastor said, there's a NASCAR race and I can't be at communion? You'd get another pastor. Can a pastor get another congregation? Because I've been given those excuses. Can I get another congregation, please? Do we have congregation vote every once a year? No, we don't. So I need to start preaching this more. And I'm going to start preaching it to me first. The first person I preach this to is me. I have been guilty. I have not ate of this bread and of drink of this wine reverently like I should. I don't ever want to make that mistake again. That's 2.5 minutes. I love each and every one of you. If I stepped on your toes, I still love you. Okay? I still love you. Maybe tomorrow we'll talk about something else. But this is what I had on my mind tonight. May God richly bless you, my friend.